Copters circled overhead, police and media, and on the street, on the sidewalk, cops and medics fought to help the injured, to shield the dead, to hold order when another strike could come from anywhere. The world flashed blue and red from the police car lights, roared full of the terrible sound of screaming, and stank with the copper smell of blood. Ah, Christ! Because they were shoulder to shoulder, she felt the shudder move through Rourke. He's there, over there, helping the medics. She saw him too, the bony frame, the shock of gray hair, those thin hands smeared with blood as he knelt by a woman bleeding from the side, from a gash along her temple. Her own chest shook as they veered toward him. Are you hurt? Rourke dropped down beside Somerset, gripped his arm. Tell me if you're hurt. No, we were inside, just coming out, just... I heard the screams. I saw... I need to stop this bleeding. His voice was clipped, cold, but when he looked up, Eve saw both horror and grief. Mavis and Leonardo are fine. Inside. Still inside. I sent Ivana back into them. The back of Eve's eyes burned, the inside of her throat, too. She could only nod. Then, on a deep breath, she crouched, looked Somerset in the eye. Turn on your link. What? You need to turn your link back on, in case I need to contact you. I'm going to need to talk to you later, in depth, but right now, just turn on your link and keep doing what you're doing. You're in good hands, she told the bleeding woman, who stared at her with eyes glassy from shock. Good hands, she repeated, and pushed to her feet. She turned, sucked in a good, steady breath. You, she snapped, snagged two uniforms at random. I want a detail escorting ambulances and medivans to this location. I want a clear path for the medicals in and out. Nothing, repeat, nothing and no one gets beyond 6th, beyond 8th, beyond 36th, beyond 32nd who is not NYPSD or medical. Move it. Do it. Now. And you, she whirled on two more. You think gawking's helping these people? Get inside. Establish some order. No one comes out until I clear it. Move your asses. The sergeant said to hold, one began, and Eve sliced him with one sharp look, tapped her badge. What does this say? Lieutenant, sir. The lieutenant just gave you an order. She moved quickly toward an MT she recognized. Can we move some of the minor injuries inside? We could, the MT said, as she treated what appeared to be a broken leg. But they've blocked it off. I'm unblocking it. If you can spare a couple medics, they can handle the minor injuries inside. We're working on clearing a path for transport. Say hallelujah! Do you know how many? The MT shook her head. I counted a dozen dead, twice that injured. Could be more. Dallas! She glanced over, shocked to see Berensky limping toward her, one eye swollen and bruised. How bad are you? Just got banged up some in the panic. Came with a couple buddies from the lab. We're all okay, but... People running, screaming, trampling each other, trying to get out. They thought it was gonna blow again. His breath short, his eyes a little glazed as he looked around. Christ, Dallas. Fucking Christ. Do you need a medic? No. I got some basic medical training, but I don't know if I've got enough to do anything here. There's Feeney coming through. You're with him and EDD. Work the program. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that, he repeated, limping toward Feeney. No way to preserve the scene, she thought. And she'd done what she could to secure the area for now. So she took another breath, cleared everything else out of her head, and looked. Wait for the concert to end. probably being streamed, probably a way to watch it on screen or at least get updates. Was a target here? A name from the list? Or was this just a way to show how much you could do? Doors open, people start streaming out. Did you wait? How long did you wait until you gave yourself the green? She walked back to Somerset, noted he'd stopped the bleeding and was carefully tending the more superficial head wound. You're drafted as an expert consultant, medical. You see that MT over there? She gestured. She's solid. You're gonna work with her to arrange for the minor injuries to be taken inside. I want them comfortable but contained. One of my people will talk to them, and they'll be released when cleared. More severely injured will be triaged where they are and transported ASAP to a medical facility. I need to tend to the dead, you get that? You can help tend to the living. Yes, all right. I need a running list of names of anyone you treat or move, understand? Of course. I'll tap you when I need you otherwise. She saw Rourke and Feeney going inside, with Berensky limping behind them. See that guy? The one with the head like an egg, limping? Yes. When you have time, look him over. He got banged up. He'll be with Rourke and Feeney. I'll do what I can. If you see Mavis, tell her that is also understood. Okay. Shifting her field kit, she walked away to begin tending to the dead. She'd identified two, had begun her work on a third when Peabody rushed to her. I'm sorry. Jesus, Dallas, we couldn't get through. It's damn near a riot behind the barricades. Whitney called out every cop in the city, or it seems like it, to get people off the streets. Do you want me to start on IDs? We've got the target here. Rothstein, Jonah, age 38, attorney. This is going to be the lawyer we couldn't nail down. This gut shot wound? He'd have bled out before anyone could do anything for him, but he'd have had a few minutes of agony first. He tried to crawl. See the blood smears? And see his legs? Gut shot. Then she put two more strikes into him, one in each leg. It's the first I've seen where she hit more than once. This is the target. Eve sat back on her heels. He comes out, moving with the crowd, probably juiced from the concert. Maybe he's with somebody. He's divorced, and she's watching for him. This time, yeah, I say this time, she puts him down first. Wouldn't want to lose him in the crowd when the panic starts. Then she just picks at random. That's not for cover now. No need for cover now. That's for fun. Contact Morris. I already did. He's on his way. He might have beaten us here. I haven't seen him. We need this victim transported first. Have Rothstein bagged and tagged priority. I'll coordinate with Morris. Dallas, do you know how many dead? Eve got to her feet. Medicals continued to triage the wounded, but many had been taken inside. The uninjured were cleared and released. It looked, she thought, like a battlefield after combat. Bodies strewn over the cold and bloody pavement. She could count 14 down beyond help. There could be more. Let's take it one at a time. In the end, it would be 16 dead on scene, two others who died of their wounds within hours, another 84 injured. They would weigh on her. Every one, as in the cold, cold hour before dawn, she left the dead to go inside, to do what came next. She looked around the huge sweep of the lobby, the marble floors under the brilliance of the lights, crossed to Jenkinson. Fill me in, she said. Conflicting reports. Most people don't know what the hell. The bulk of them never got outside. got banged up, knocked down, trampled in here. Somebody started yelling about a bomb, and that lit the fricking fuse. Face grim and tired, he, too, looked around the lobby area, cleared of wounded now, but with smears of blood still on the floor and scattered belongings dropped and forgotten in the panic. Same deal outside, from what we're getting. Conflictings on the first strike, but I got a security guard who kept his head, and he's firm the first couple went down around 150, 155, say 10 minutes after people began crowding out. After rubbing the back of his neck, Jenkinson checked his notes. A male, black top coat, blonde, medium-length hair. That's who the guard says took the first hit. Then a female, black or gray coat, red hair, but he says the first victim took a second hit, maybe 3 hits. He's not sure if it was after the second Vic went down or the third. Things started to get crazy. Was this guy ever on the job? Funny you should ask. Put in 25, most of it in Queens. He still got it. First Vic, male, black coat, blonde hair, was the lawyer. Rothstein, Jonah, 3 hits. Keep the guard on tap in case he remembers more details. DBs are in the morgue or on the way. Still some injured being treated outside, but it's under control. I need this sector blocked off until we clear it all. You and Reinecke can switch off with Carmichael in Santiago. Get some crib time.
I hear that.
You need more of us down here, Lou. We're good for it.
Took a booster.
He scrubbed his face. Hate those bastards.
I hear that.
A little crib time, because you won't get much more today. Where's EDD set up? It took her a full 5 minutes at a brisk stride to make it to the impressive security area where her geek team was working. She glanced at the screens, tried to block out the e-chatter, and saw the beams striking the 7th Avenue area of Madison Square from Lexington and from 3rd. The Murray Hill area, she noted.
We're narrowing it, Feeney told her. Or Lowenbaum and Berensky are.
Dickhead, she thought, watching him hunched over a monitor with Lowenbaum.
If she's using the same weapon as her asshole father had, we think we got it pegged down to a couple blocks.
Berensky rolled his shoulders, swiveled on his stool.
You add the weapon factors in, range, velocity, calculate full power, because why the hell not, and you can save the formula for now and just give me the most likelies. Maybe later I'll have you give me a lesson on the rest.
He blinked, rubbed his excuse for a mustache.
Yeah, sure. Could do that.
We're leaning here. Rourke highlighted 3 buildings. 2 on Lex, 1 on 3rd. She likes the east side, Eve noted. Knows that area best.
Apparently.
Having our weapons experts add to the program has narrowed it considerably. These 3 are all low-security rental units, or flops. We'll start there. Can you apply the same to the Times Square hit?
Doing that, McNabb said, we'll be able to give you most likelies with these factors.
Peabody, send the results to Baxter and Trueheart. Get them and Uniform Carmichael and his picks working them. She checked the time. Be ready to leave for Central when I tag you. She had 1 more stop to make, wound her way back down, asked directions, and made her way backstage. It was unlikely she'd gather any information that would add to the manhunt. But she couldn't leave, just couldn't leave, without seeing the people she cared about. The people the Dream Willow had threatened to kill. She heard Nadine before she saw her, the voice thick with fatigue. She sat on the floor, back to the wall, outside one of the dressing rooms. Face and hair, unsurprisingly, still camera ready, a bold blue leather jacket over a sleek black skin suit. She sat hip to hip with a man with purple-streaked black hair that curled madly past the collar of a black T-shirt
and a studded sleeveless black vest. He wore black jeans, scuffed boots that laced up his calves. He rivaled McNabb for ear hoops. He met her eyes. His, a heavy-lidded, sharp crystal blue. His mouth curved a little, deepening the creases in his cheeks. "Here's your cop, pal, Lois."
"What?"
"Oh, Dallas." Nadine shoved to her feet.
"What do you know? What can you tell me? I'm queued into the station, and we need more details."
Best, probably best, Eve thought, that she hadn't known Nadine was here, hadn't had one more person to worry about.
"What do you know?" she countered. "What did you see? What did you hear? My job's priority."
"I didn't see or hear a damn thing. I was down here in Mavis's dressing room when security rushed in, said there was an incident. They won't let us leave the area. Somerset's friend was brought down. She's in there with Mavis and Leonardo. Trina's in there, too." Nadine gestured to the facing room with Mavis's name emblazoned on it.
"Come on, Dallas, spill! I'm having to feed things in crumbs to my producer."
Eve just looked at Nadine's companion. "Who are you?" Nadine let out a quick laugh.
"Told you."
"Refreshing," he said. "I'm Jake Kincaid."
"That won't click either. Dallas, Jake's a rock star. Literally. Avenue A? His band's been rocking the charts for about 15 years.
"Give or take. Doesn't really apply right now, does it?" "Anyway, he rose on long legs, stood about 6'5" in his boots, offered a hand.
"I'd say nice to meet you, but, well, hell."
"How many dead?" Nadine insisted. "Will you confirm that?"
"It matters, Dallas."
"Yeah, it matters. 16 at this time. A couple more aren't likely to make it, but 16 confirmed dead on scene."
"Jesus."
Jake stared down the corridor. "My band's piled up in dressing rooms, and we've got roadies flopped out like puppies. They're all safe. All of them are safe, but I've got names of some people we got tickets for, about a dozen people. Can you check to see?"
Eve pulled out her notebook.
"Give me the names."
She checked as he reeled them off from memory.
"None of them are on the dead or seriously injured list. I don't have all the names yet of minor injuries."
"That's good enough. More than. Thanks."
They won this contest. Got to hang with us at rehearsal, come backstage before the performance."
"It's been eating at him that any of them got hurt," Nadine said. "Or worse."
"I'm gonna clear it so you can go home, all of you. It may take about 30 to have someone come down, escort you out."
"I'm not going anywhere without a one-on-one," Nadine insisted. "They can do it by remote."
"Go get 'em, Lois," Jake murmured,
and had Nadine shooting him a sparkling look.
"The city's going to be waking up," Nadine continued, checked her glittering wrist unit. "In fact, is. People need to know, Dallas. It's their city. And last night was important. Someone smeared that with a lot of blood. It's your job to stop them. It's mine to let people know not only what happened here, but that you're doing whatever it takes to stop them."
"She's good."
Jake hooked his thumbs in his front pockets.
"She says you're good, too."
"I'll give you 5. It's all I can spare," Eve said before Nadine could protest. "But I need to..."
She glanced toward Mavis's dressing room door.
"I'll get it set up."
"I'm gonna get the band up and moving."
When Jake moved down the corridor, Eve turned to Nadine.
"Lois?"
"As in Lane. Ace reporter for the Daily Planet." "Superman, Dallas? You've probably heard of him."
"Yeah. Where is he now?"
She opened the door quietly.
Inside, Leonardo slept in a chair, Mavis curled like a fanciful cat in his lap. Trina, likely there for hair and makeup, stretched out on the floor, a colorful rug. Eve recognized Somerset's old friend Ivana Liski asleep on a sofa. But her eyes returned to Mavis, hair a tumbled rainbow, pretty fairy face relaxed in sleep, with Leonardo's big arms wrapped around her. Because her eyes stung, her stomach jittered, Eve rested her head on the door jamb, just let herself breathe. In comfort, Nadine rubbed a hand on her back. Whenever you're ready. With a nod, Eve straightened, shut the door to give them a few more minutes. Let's get this done. 15. While he worked, once again aligning himself with cops, worry sat heavy in the back of Rourke's mind. Though he was a man who'd trained himself to remain cool and clear-headed in crises, else the hothead who lived inside him would have spent most of his years in a cage of one sort or another, that worry stiffened and tightened his shoulders to dull aches. His wife, the center of his world, was running straight into exhaustion, had barely recovered from an ugly dream inside the scant 2 hours of sleep she'd managed. He'd read it on her face when she'd come to check their progress, that pale and shadowed look, the one of nearly translucent skin and bruised eyes. He could feel much the same from the good cops who worked with him, that drawn tight as a spring fatigue under their gut-deep determination to push on and push on. And there was little he could do to fix it. Not the time, the place, to order in gallons of good coffee or platters of food. Neither the money nor the power he'd worked all his life to attain could help. So he applied his skill, his creativity with tech, and felt it wasn't nearly enough. How did one catch a killer by knowing where they'd been and where they surely weren't any longer? She would say, his cop. Every detail mattered, so he applied himself to finding those details. Worry for Eve mixed and melded with worry for Somerset. What help was he there? The look on Somerset's face, the grief and horror, the blood on his hands, and more, the slight quaver in his voice, haunted. It jolted. Always jolted those rare glimpses of frailty in the man who had essentially raised him, who had saved him from the alleys, the beatings, the hunger, and the miseries, who had helped him develop that clear-headed control and bank the furies that raged under it. Where would he be? Who would he be without these two complicated and opposing forces? He couldn't say. Would never know, but surely not where and who he was now, working alongside cops he'd once reviled. Eve tracked a killer, prepared to face down the one who'd trained his own child to kill. Somerset tended the wounded. And he? Well, he'd done all he could do here to narrow down locations, positions, possibilities. He rose. Looked toward Feeney, a father figure for Eve. It was all father figures, wasn't it? Feeney, Somerset, Mackie. Those who trained and schooled, for good or for evil. I need to find Somerset. Make certain he's all right. Go, Feeney told him. We're good here. Better than I figured we'd be. You gonna license this program to the NYPSD? We'll consider it a gift. I'll arrange it. That was something, at least, he thought as he left them. He tried Somerset's link, but only got V-mail. Forgot to turn the shagging link on, he thought, or was too busy staunching blood or splinting bones to answer. He started to try Eve, decided she'd not welcome an interruption to her work any more than he would have to his at a crisis point. He wandered through, and cops on guard or at tasks merely nodded to him. Once, they would have chased him hard and fast, he thought. Those days were done, and however much he might entertain a bit of nostalgia for the thrill and adventure of them, he wouldn't trade a moment of this life he had, not even with the weight of worry. He saw her first, coming through a door he realized with the blueprint in his head must have led backstage, house left. So pale, he thought. And because he knew those eyes so well, he knew there had been tears somewhere. As she walked, she spoke into her link, giving more orders, he assumed, coordinating details and taking reports. As he started to go to her, Somerset came through the doors, house right. Frail, Rourke thought again, the bones of his face too prominent against the drawn skin. Something more than fatigue in his eyes. Tears again. The sort that burn in the belly, scorch the heart, and aren't cooled by the shedding. In that instant, he felt caught between them, these two vital loves, opposing forces. Then he saw Somerset sway, just slightly, and reach a hand down to the back of a seat to steady himself. There the choice was made for him, and he changed angles to go to the man who'd given him a life. You need to sit. Rourke spoke more brusquely than he meant to as that worry leaped hard into his throat. I'll get you some water. I'm all right. So many aren't. There were so many. You'll sit, he said again, just as Eve stepped up to them. Both of you will bloody well sit down for 5 bloody minutes while I find some bloody water. We need to go to Central. I need you to come in, she said to Somerset. Give a statement. Well, fuck that, Rourke snapped. He needs to go home. He needs to rest. Bugger it, have you no eyes to see? It'll be easier away from here. I can have him taken home after. He's going nowhere but home. I'll be taking him myself. With sudden and bright fury, Eve rounded on Rourke. This is a police investigation. This is a goddamn crime scene, and I say who goes where and when. Then arrest the pair of us, since you've apparently nothing better to do. Is this how you treat him, after he's fagged to the bone from mopping up blood? Don't tempt me. I don't have time for drama. I'll show you drama right enough. Stop it, both of you. Somerset's tone, straw thin with fatigue, still held an edge. Behaving like cranky toddlers needing a nap. I told you to sit the hell down. And I believe I will, despite your rudeness. Because I need to. Somerset lowered into an aisle seat, let out a sigh. I'll go into Central, of course. But I need to know if Ivana is all right before I leave. I just saw her. She's fine. And we're having her taken home. I told her you'd contact her as soon as you could. The others. Mavis, Leonardo, Nadine, Trina. The same. They're all... Eve's voice broke. She cleared it. They're all good. That eases my mind. His eyes met Eve's a moment, and he sighed again. Then he looked at Rourke. I could use some water, as it happens. I'll get it. You stay just where you are. I frightened him, Somerset told Eve when they were alone. It's difficult to see weakness in the one who raised you. Understood, but, and you worry him. You look, Lieutenant, as brutally tired and heavy as I feel. And what can he do for us, he asks himself, when one he loves above all else must use one he cares for as a child for a parent?
Why, snarl at them both, of course.
He smiled a little. She could feel herself teetering on some rocky edge, knowing that if she leaned too far one way, she'd crumble. No choice, then, she thought, no choice but to lean the other way and hold on.
I'm sorry, but time's so narrow. I can't wait to move to the next step.
Understood. He echoed her. I would like to go home.
The boy has that right. I would very much like to go home. We could save each other time by doing this here and now. Is that possible?
Yeah. I just figured you'd want to get away.
You never get away, do you?
Rourke came back with two tubes of water. Hush, boy, Somerset muttered as Rourke started to speak. I'm about to give the lieutenant my statement, as we've agreed to do so right here.
Eve sat across the aisle.
I have eyes, but I need to know what yours saw.
She engaged her recorder, read in the salient data. Tell me what you remember.
We were nearly to the doors, Ivana and I, nearly outside. It was a diverse, celebratory evening. The crowd, I believe they must have sold out tonight, so we were hemmed in by the crowd at first. But
when Somerset rubbed at his temple, Rourke pulled out a small case, took out a blocker.
Take it.
At Somerset's cool stare, Rourke's jaw set, but he added,
Please.
Thank you.
Somerset cracked the tube, took the pill, sipped the water.
I think I was about to leave Ivana through the doors when I saw someone fall to the ground. A belly wound, I could see that too. There were screams as someone else fell. A head wound. Then panic. People running, shoving. I pulled Ivana aside, worked back until I could get her clear. She argued, but she understood there wasn't time. She promised she'd go backstage, to Mavis. We'd visited before the concert, and I was confident she'd make her way. Everyone else was trying to get out.
The one who went down first. Describe him.
Middle 30s, I would think. Blonde hair. Caucasian. He had a black topcoat, open, and I'd seen the blood spread. By the time I was able to get outside to him, he was gone. Two more strikes, one in each leg. I heard the screams and the cars, brakes squealing. Even as I moved to try to help a woman who'd been knocked to the ground, I saw another struck by a car as she ran into the street. And then I...
What next?
For a moment longer, I fear, I was in another place, another time. In London, during another strike, during the Urbans. The same sounds, smells, the same terrible fear and rush. Bodies on the ground, bleeding, wounded, calling for help. The weeping and the desperation to escape.
He stared at the tube of water for a moment, then drank from it.
I froze, you see. Just froze between that time and this. And did nothing. I stood there. Just stood there. Then someone shoved me and I fell. I fell beside the body of a woman who was beyond help. Nothing to do for her. Nothing at all, and I came back to myself, to the moment. There was a boy, barely 20, if that, I'd say, knocked senseless. Someone trampled right over him, stepped on his hand. I heard the bones crack. I did what I could for him until the medicals began to arrive.
He paused, drank again.
People were still falling, but the medicals, the police, rushed in. I called out that I was a medic, and one of them threw me a kit.
So we did what we could do, just like on any battlefield. I don't know how long. Minutes, hours. Then you came. You and my boy here. The worst was over quickly then. You saw to that. I tended more outside than inside. And here we are. Eve waited a beat. The woman you were working on when we came? Stabilized enough, I think. They took her once she was stable enough. They said at least a dozen dead. How many? Do you know? 16 DOS and 2 more who didn't make it, so 18. There would have been more if you hadn't been here, if you hadn't helped. 18. Somerset lowered his head, stared at the water in his hand. We couldn't save the 18. So we look to you to make them matter. To find them justice. They matter. So do the wounded. I'll get you their names, the living and the dead. He lifted his head, met her eyes. Thank you. Rourke can take you home. No, I think he'll stay with you. There's nothing for me to do here. And everything for you. I'll take a soother and go to bed, he told Rourke, and seemed steadier when he rose. I'd rather you weren't alone. I'll have the cat. Somerset smiled a little, then did something Eve hadn't seen him do before. He leaned in, kissed Rourke's cheek. Moved, embarrassed, Eve got to her feet. I'm going to arrange transportation. She started out, stopped. The medicals and cops who rushed in? Saying it's their job doesn't diminish the risk or the courage. It wasn't your job, but you took the same risk, showed the same courage. I won't forget it. I should go with you, Rourke said. No. Somerset shook his head. I want quiet and my bed, and I'll admit the cat will add some comfort. Wars never really end as long as there are those who feel entitled, even obliged, to take lives. It's not my war now, but it's hers, and because it's hers, it's yours. I'm proud of you both, and hope you'll bring me peaceful news when you come home. He let out another sigh, a long one, then squeezed Rourke's shoulder. I'm going to check in with Ivana, settle myself there, and let our lieutenant have me taken home. We'll have you both taken home, Eve told him. I'll take care of having all of you taken home. Thank you. I'm well, boy. Just tired. Then I'll take you back to Ivana. Walk you both out. Later, Rourke walked Somerset out to the police car waiting at the curb. When Eve joined him, he could feel the stiffness in her body. Part anger, he mused, part sheer determination to stay on her feet. There's nothing you can do now, she began, and he found himself snapping toward her. I feel useless enough at the moment without you adding to it. Useless my ass! We wouldn't have the nests without you, and we now have all three. Maybe they'll help track her next position, her next target. Fuck, you're useless. Then there's always something else I can do. You should have gone with him. You should go home. Make sure he goes to bed and get some sleep yourself. He wants what he wants, and I'll sleep when you do. Shall we waste time arguing about it? Fine. She started off at a fast clip. I sent Peabody ahead. I've got a consult with Mira, then I'm taking Mackie into interview. I'll see what help I can be elsewhere. Stopping, he took Eve's arm firmly. He looked shaken and fragile. I couldn't stand the idea that you would push him. And yourself. I couldn't stand being caught between the pair of you when you both looked ready to drop and neither would give way.
He held up. She hissed out of breath. I wasn't gonna push him, but I needed to know what he saw. He was right there, front lines, and he's been there before. It gives me insight. She's gonna hit again, and likely quicker now. I needed him. I know it. What he did? I admire it more than I can say. He could have gone back in, stayed safe, but he went outside. He risked doing that to save lives.
He saved mine, and so did you. It's a tricky dance for me.
She stopped at the car.
You were the making of him. That's what I see.
The stunned look on Rourke's face had her shaking her head. He wouldn't be with you still if that wasn't the way it is.
You say you and I saved each other? Well, before I came along, the two of you did the same.
Another way, another path, but just as true.
You gave him purpose, and you gave him a son.
So let's just table all this crap.
Crap tabled.
Then he pulled her into his arms, held tight. No one's paying attention to the likes of us right now, so give me this, as I need it. I swear I need it.
She gave what he needed, and took what she needed. Held on.
You know, you got more Irish in there, trying to bully us into doing what you thought we should do.
A bloody lot of good it did me.
He drew back.
I'm going to find you a booster. Not now, not the sort you hate as they wire you up. I'll find you something that suits you.
If anybody can.
You can drive. I've got people to talk to.
He got behind the wheel, glanced over at her.
Will this new sort of understanding, as it were, also table the daily sniping between you and Somerset?
Not a chance in hell.
Well then, there's something to look forward to.
She moved fast through Central. Didn't notice, as Rourke did, the other cops, support staff who recognized her, step aside to clear her way. Even as she strode into homicide, Peabody stood up behind her desk.
Mirrors in your office. Sweepers are all over the nests. We're culling through WIT reports. A few may be viable.
Keep it going.
Mackey, en route with counsel. In interview, the minute he's in the house. Give me 10 with Mira.
I'll take myself off to EDD, Rourke told Eve.
And if I can't be of use there, I'll be elsewhere.
You could catch an hour's sleep in the crib.
Not in this lifetime or the next.
Snob.
So be it.
He'd have kissed her. Actively longed to, but he understood there were marriage rules on either side, so he just flicked a finger down the dent in her chin and wandered away. They'd both do what they could, and he'd access his home system, make certain Somerset was home and in bed. Then he'd find his cop a damn booster.
Mira stood in Eve's office facing the case board. She'd tossed her coat on the visitor's chair.
Clothes might not have been high on Eve's list of priorities, but observation was, and she observed Mira wore leg-hugging black pants with knee-high black boots and a floaty blue sweater rather than her usual pretty suit and heels.
I need to update that.
Mira didn't turn.
It gives a good sense. And I'm fully briefed on this morning's attack.
I need coffee. You want that tea stuff?
Yes, thanks. She continued her father's agenda, still seeking his approval.
She likes to kill.
Yes, very much yes, but she's still a child, and the child seeks to please the father. This is their bond. It began with weaponry, honing her skill there, and devolved into revenge. As his skills lessened due to his addiction, hers have sharpened. The apprentice has exceeded the master. She became his weapon.
She likes it, Eve insisted.
Again, I agree.
Mira took the tea, holding the cup as she studied the dead.
In the first attack, the other two victims were essentially cover, or he convinced himself of that. But I wonder, did he feel pride when she so skillfully struck three targets? I think he did. In the second, we had five struck, four dead, so he allowed her to test her skills, or she increased on her own. And now the third.
18 dead.
Yes. Now she has her head. She has no one to tell her to stop.
Will he feel pride?
I believe he will. He may see, some part of him may see, she's reveling in the kill. Not the agenda, not the mission, but the power of the kill. And still, she's his child, one he taught. One he loves.
What kind of love is that? Eve snapped it out. What kind of love raises a kid to be a monster?
However twisted, for him it's genuine. He sacrificed himself to save her. He sent her away, not only in hopes she might eventually complete the mission, but certainly to protect her.
She turned now to face Eve.
He was a police officer. He certainly had to know. Once you'd identified them, you'd also identified at least some of the targets. So those targets would be out of reach.
Tell that to Jonah Rothstein. Eve took the ID shot out of her field kit, put it on the board.
There's no point blaming yourself when you know who's responsible. I just couldn't...
No. Eve sucked in a breath. No point. So, the instructor, the master, wants the mission completed. And for it to be completed, the student needs to stay safe, free. And the father protects the child, even as he helps twist her into a killer. Because I think to do what she's done, it was always in there. Inside there. He just had to recognize it and exploit it. But he doesn't know her agenda. She was smart to keep that to herself. Will he care? When I hit him with hers in the hospital, he wasn't ready to believe me. Her own mother, her own brother, teachers, kids in school. He slapped that off. When I make him believe it, will he give a fuck?
You need him to, Mira said with a nod. You need him to, we could say, give a great many fucks in order to pressure him into giving you information on her whereabouts.
Another time, it might have amused her to hear Mira's clinical use of the F word. That's exactly right.
I believe children are important to him. With the divorce, a man in his position, a demanding career, could have opted for generous visitation rather than co-parenting. It was the loss of his wife and the potential of another child that broke the restraints on his control.
The kid brother, then, the school,
will most likely be your best levers.
She's not going to Alaska to live wild and free, as in his plan for her. Eve nodded. She's gonna stay right here, shift over to her own mission. He taught her to kill. Now she's gonna take what he taught her and eliminate anyone who's annoyed her, keeping herself in my crosshairs. Not safe. Yeah, I'll play that.
Do you want me an interview?
No, I want him looking at me, the one who's hunting his offspring. A cop killer. I want him thinking about that, knowing she's still here, knowing she's close, and I'm close. And remembering, as a cop, how we feel about those who target our own. It won't be hard to make him believe I'd take her out rather than give her a chance to play the misled card and spend time in a cushy facility for minors. When Mira said nothing, Eve shifted her gaze, met her eyes. No. In fact, that's last resort. I want her looking at me, knowing I'm the one who stopped her. I want her to remember me every day for the rest of her very long life.
She's not you.
Could have been. Who knows what Richard Troy would have twisted me into if he'd had more time?
No. Nature, nurture, both matter, both form us. But at some point, at so many points, the choices we make, the paths we take, they define us. You made yours. She's made hers.
Yeah, yeah. And we're gonna come together, I swear to Christ we are. Then we'll see what each other is made of. So I need to break Mackie. I will break Mackie.
I'll be in observation, if you need me.
Okay. As Mira turned to go, Cher Rio stepped into Eve's doorway. Mackie's an interviewee, the APA stated. I'm here to tell you that my boss says no deals for him. Former cop, now a mass murderer, and a cop killer. Evidence is thick and heavy. A confession would be nice, of course, but the PA's office believes we have more than enough for a conviction. I hear that. However, bugger the howevers. However, Rio continued, if Mackie gives us the location of his daughter before she takes another life or injures anyone else, and if she surrenders peaceably, the PA's office will agree to try Willow Mackie as a minor. Bullshit, Rio! Rio held up a hand, skimmed the other through her wind-blown curly hair. We're giving you ammunition, Dallas. He needs incentive to lead us to her before she takes out another swath of people. Dr. Mira?
It could play on two levels, on his paternal instincts to protect and on his need to have the mission complete, however long it might take.
Which is just what she will do if we let her walk at 18. Rio angled her head. And what are the odds of that actually happening? The odds of a peaceful surrender and no further harm done? Eve started to speak, then waited for her initial outrage to fade and for more caffeine to kick in. Okay. Okay, I get it. No way she surrenders without a fight. That's in stone. That part's non-refundable. Rio smiled. She resists in any way, stomps her evil little foot and stubs your toe. The deal's void. Let me work him a while first. If I can't break him down, we'll toss this in. That way it sounds and feels like a concession. I don't want to walk in with any deal. That's good. That works. He's got a court appointed as his counsel. Guy named Kent Pratt. He's got a rep as the public defender's patron saint of lost causes. All right. Let me get started. I'll be in observation if you need to pull me in for the deal. If I do, we play it up. I'm gonna be really pissed. I may call you rude names. Rio smiled again, sunnily. Wouldn't be the first. 16. Eve tagged Peabody as she gathered what she needed. One of the injured who'd stabilized has taken a turn, Peabody told her. I don't have all the details. It's medical and complicated, but she's back in surgery. Name? Adele Ninsky. The woman Somerset was treating when she'd arrived on scene, Eve thought, then set it aside. I want you to play up the father-daughter connection. Parental duty, poor young girl. You can be tough on him, but soften up with the girl. Got it. I guess it's not much of a stretch. It should be. Look at the board. It damn well should be. Scooping up files, Eve strode out. Peabody quickened her pace to catch up. Baxter and Trueheart hit one wit they think saw her minutes after the Times Square attack.
He didn't recognize her until they interviewed him, showed him Yancey's sketch. He says he was heading into the building as she was coming out. He held the door for her. She was carrying a large metal case and a rolling duffel. Had a backpack. He remembers because he said, like, "Let me help you," and held the door. And he claims she gave him this, quote, "scary smile," unquote, and said she didn't need anybody's help. He was a little steamed, so he stared after her for a minute. He thinks she was headed for the bus stop, half a block down. They're checking it out. Good. Eve paused at the door to the interview room. "No mistakes," she said, and then walked in. "Record on," she began, reading the data into that record as she sized up the two men at the table. Mackie, pale, defiant, his eyes shielded behind lightly tinted goggles. Through them, she noted the eyes were bloodshot, bruised, and she felt nothing. The lawyer wore a cheap suit and a skinny black tie. His face sported a night's worth of scruff, with his idealism shining bright under it. Eve sat, stacked up